Go ahead and run and get your Bibles and then take your seats and pull up a chair. It is time again for the Warren County Radio Bible School. And when you get your Bible, you'll want to be turning it to Luke chapter 6. And we're going to continue the study that we are making at this time about Jesus being the great teacher and looking at the sermon that he preached in Luke chapter 6. That we could call the Sermon on the Plain, because it says he came down into a level place and talked with the people, a sermon that is much like the Sermon on the Mount. So turn to Luke chapter 6, and while you're turning, I'll remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola along the highway at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, and just across from Mount Zion Road. We've been meeting in this location, or the church has been meeting there, for over 100 years. And we're dedicated to that restoration principle, that we'll know how to worship and serve God by following the pattern that we find in the New Testament, using that as our sole authority, not responsible to any man or group of men or denomination of man, but simply to be a church of Christ. You are welcome to any of our assemblies, and you'll be able to see how this is carried out. I'm Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. But now let's get to our text. We're looking at Matthew chapter 6. And in Matthew 6 and verse 28, Jesus said, "Bless them that curse you, and pray for them that despitefully use you." In the notes Elam made for the Sunday school lesson of November 12, 1922, concerning this verse, E.A. Elam said, "To bless instead of to curse is to love enemies. To pray for those who despitefully use one is to love them. This forbids retaliation and vengeance." When I was reading about that, forbidding retaliation and vengeance, I was reminded of what Paul wrote in Romans chapter 12 and verse 19, where Paul said, "Avenge not yourselves, beloved, but give place to the wrath of God. For it is written, Vengeance belongeth to me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. But if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him to drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." Then in Luke chapter 6 and verse 29, Jesus continued his sermon and said, "To him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And from him that taketh away thy cloak, withhold not thy coat also." Instead of taking vengeance, Jesus says, when one cheek is smitten, offer the other. Christians are forbidden to take vengeance in any way. "Render to no man evil for evil. Avenge not yourselves, beloved, but give place unto wrath. For it is written, Vengeance belongeth to me, and I will recompense, saith the Lord," Romans 12, 17 through 19. The cloak was the outer garment, and the coat the inner garment. Instead of taking vengeance, even when oppressed, and the cloak is unjustly taken by law, let the coat go also. Christians must suffer wrong rather than do wrong. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 7, "Why not rather take wrong? Why not rather be defrauded?" And then, in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 30, Jesus said, "Give to everyone that asketh thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again." Instead of taking vengeance, Jesus' disciples must give to everyone who asks of them, and him who takes away their goods must not ask them again. This does not forbid such self-protection as Paul sought when he claimed the rights of a Roman citizenship in Acts chapter 18 and verse 37, or Acts chapter 22, 25 through 29, Paul appealed to Caesar in Acts chapter 25 and verse 11. It does forbid vengeance and teaches that Christians should endure wrong rather than to do wrong. I want to read to you a portion of what Paul wrote in Romans 12, 17 through 21, where again we read, render to no man evil for evil. Take thought for things honorable in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as life in you, live in peace with all men. That is Romans 12, 17 through 19. And then back to Luke. In Jesus' sermon, he spoke these words which you have heard before in Luke chapter 6 and verse 31. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. This is often called the golden rule. And the way we often hear it is, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. This is not called the golden rule because it brings gold to one. This has been called the golden rule not because it brings one under the rule of gold, but like the golden age of a kingdom. This rule is so excellent that it is compared to the most precious metal. There's a very great difference between the golden rule and the rule of gold. You know the rule of gold. That's the rule that says the one with the gold rules. The golden rule lifts men high above selfishness and leads them from the worship of gold to the loving service of men and worship of God. According to this, no man can cheat, defraud, wrong, oppress, or rob others. It is loving your neighbor as yourself. It is rendering to all their dues and owing no man anything save to love one another, Romans 13, 7 and 8. James 2 and verse 8 calls it the royal law. The royal law says in James 2 and verse 8, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Jesus sums it up in this one rule, all the duties that man owes to his fellow man. He adds in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12, for this is the law and the prophets. All that is required in the law and the prophets as regards man's duties to others is embraced in this command. This is the way to love men. It is to love itself. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is summed up in this word, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Love, therefore, is the fulfillment of the law. Romans 13, 9 through 10. In all conditions, circumstances, trades, transactions, and associations with others, Jesus means for us to live daily by this rule. He does not mean that we are to do for people what, in their selfishness, greed, and sensuality, and foolish wishes, they may ask of us, but that which, in justice, righteousness, mercy, and love, we would have them do to us, were we in their place, and they in ours. This rule works both ways. We are not only not to injure others in any way, but to really do something for them, to do unto them as we would have them do unto us. It also requires of us not to demand more of others than we're willing to give under similar circumstances. Some people are exacting, but are quite unwilling to do the same themselves. This rule is active. It is something to be and do. Many do not kill, and do not steal, and do not commit adultery, and do not bear false witness. And on the other hand, They do not do what the Lord said they must do. On the positive, active, aggressive side of Christianity, many fail. Now, Christians must do more than sinners. Going back to his sermon on the plain in Luke chapter 6, verses 32 through 34, we read, "And if ye love them that love you, what thank have ye? For even sinners love them that love them. And if ye do good to them that do good to you, what thank have ye? Even sinners do the same. And if ye lend to them from whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? Even sinners lend to sinners and receive as much again. If ye love them that love you, what thank have ye? To love those who love you is human and easily done. Aside from the Bible, the highest conception the world has of right is to love those who love you and hate those who hate you. Many who profess to be Christians do but little, if any, better than that now. For even sinners love those that love them. The force of Jesus' statement is that those considered the worst and most depraved loved their friends and hated their enemies, and his disciples must do better than these. Doing good to those who do good to you, and lending to those who lend in turn to you are practiced by sinners, or by any people of the world. But Christ's disciples must do more than that." We read in verse 35 of Luke chapter 6, that if you love your enemies, or 45, if you love your enemies, do good to them, and to lend never asking again. In contrast with the practice of sinners, Jesus adds, "But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend never despairing." His disciples must not grow weary in well-doing, and if they do not, their reward will be great, and they will be sons of the Most High. Loving enemies is essential to being children of God, for he loves his enemies, and those who do not love their enemies are unlike him. God shows his love for his enemies by sending sunshine and rain upon the evil and the unjust. All who live in sin are God's enemies. God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. Since God is merciful, his children must be merciful. To be merciful is to treat an offender better than he deserves, to forgive when punishment or penalty could be exacted, also to carry relief and to show kindness and to extend pity to the needy and the suffering. Those who are full of mercy will obtain mercy from men and from God. And then, again, in Luke chapter 6 and verse 37, we read this, "And judge not, that ye be not judged, and condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Release, and ye shall be released." In verse 38, "Give, and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over shall they give into your bosom. For with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again." Judge not that ye be not judged. Judging is the opposite of showing mercy. To know that men by their fruits is not forgiven. Some people, when they read "judge not," you would think they were taught not to give good judgment. It's in Matthew chapter 7 we read, "Judge not that ye be not judged," but also in Matthew 7 and verse 15, we are warned by Christ, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. By their fruits ye shall know them. The men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles. Even so every good tree bringeth not forth good fruit, but the corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. And therefore by their fruits ye shall know them." Well, that takes some kind of judgment, doesn't it, to be able to know them by their fruits? We'll continue this study with the next class.